sell it, went big on sports with friends. You know the fun never has to end. I bet with you, you bet me too. And now I'm picking all your money too. Settle it, went big on sports with friends. You know the fun never has to end. I bet with you, you bet me too. And now I'm taking all your money.
You know
too.
I was downtown cussing, walking Clapham nights. Through the Clapham, coming up to Clapham North lights. I'm on the high street looking for cash. And then I come across the CEO while she's on the smash. He said, if you wanna make money off me now, you gotta download, settle it, I'll show you how. Go to the app store, type and settle it. Next thing you're downloading and you're about to win big. Like, you can bet on tennis, cricket, footy, rugby too. And I'll make money back of you. But then I downloaded, settle it, and back my English lads. He thought the Aussies were gonna win, but Archie's clearly mad. What a fucking idiot, what a little shit. He's never gonna win money, he's never gonna win big. That's why I win all the time, unsettle it. I'm betting all around and I'm fucking with the rhetoric. Used to bet Will Hill leverage too, but now I'm on a settle it vibe with you.
Sell it, win big on sports with friends.
More lies, more lies, more lies, more lies. More lies.
Pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rig Biz Podcast, episode 6. My name is Freddie Claude, and as always, I am joined by England's number one fan,
yeah.
A man I've never seen so happy in his life, Mr. Archie Curzon. How are you,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah, mate, I'm strong. I'm strong. Good? I'm not only a fan, I would say I'm part of that England setup.
What?
In a way.
How?
Well, just a lot of those boys follow me on Instagram.
Right.
And in particular, you know, Marcus Smith has been following me for the last sort of 9 months.
Okay.
In a way, I feel responsible for his meteoric rise in England ranks. I've been sending him a number of voice notes through Instagram for the last sort of 6-7 months. And I think that's really helped him.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And guided
sure that's right.
him to eventually take that tension.
So what do you do? You give him feedback on his game and stuff like that?
Yeah, I just drop him a little voice note and say, "Oi, Smithy, you know, just make sure when you get the ball, make magic happen. That's what I do. Don't feel the pressure. Let the pressure feel you." Those kind of motivational speeches.
Yeah, little snippets.
Yeah.
Little snippets of advice.
Yeah.
So, where were you for the rugger? Were you watching it at Twickers?
No. I was actually in the real home of rugby, in and around the bars and pubs of Clapham.
Oh, lovely.
Popping in and out, doing a bit of a rugby pub crawl down Northcote Road. It was just great to see so many guys and gals out there watching the game, supporting England. And interestingly, you know, when you go and watch the rugby in Clapham, you are just taken back by how many experts are in the borough of Clapham.
What do you
mean? You're just watching and, you know, guys know exactly what they're talking about. And weirdly, you realise a lot of the guys who live in Clapham really do know a lot of the England team. For instance, I've never heard so many people say, you know, "Smithy, get on the ball, Smithy." They obviously know.
Otherwise they'd be calling him Marcus Smith.
But they're on a sort of nickname basis.
Okay.
It's just so insightful, Freddie.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I know my ruggers. But I didn't actually know there are so many people that know their ruggers. It would be bloody interesting to get, you know, a handful of those guys, bring them into England set up and just offer another insight that maybe Jonesy's not seeing.
Okay. And 2 weeks to silly season.
And it's interesting, Clody.
Go on.
Because me and Marcus Smith are very, very similar. You know, very similar players. Both poster boys for rugby in very different ways. And it looks like we both have a very similar type of woman we go after. You know, Marcus Smith's girlfriend is my ideal sort of girl.
Okay.
It is important to probably say at the beginning of this pod, you know, if you do look like Marcus Smith's girlfriend, please do text me.
But he plays international rugby. You're never going to get a girl.
Yeah, but I play semi-pro rugby and I'm an international Instagram rugby influencer.
Okay.
So very similar.
Okay. And 2 weeks to silly season.
Oh,
we're almost there. How's everything going in the city? Your day job, all going
mate,
well?
Busy. You know, I'm picking up the phone to clients. They're asking me how I'm going. I'm busy, you know. It's just the best way to describe my life. And, you know, you've got just over 2.5 weeks to silly season. And my little note to people out there, you know, you want to be contacting your clients now, booking in breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, or even like a game of golf.
Yeah.
You should be absolutely melting the phones, Clody. And, you know, for me, it's all about taking notes on your clients and be able to relate to them. The way I see clients, Clady, mm-hmm. are like girls who go to an all-girl boarding school, you know.
What do you mean?
They're very needy and they just want to be loved. For instance, I've got a great client I've done many a deal with. And about 3 years ago, his wife cheated on him with a gym instructor. And that's a little note I've got. And so every time I pick up the phone, I always make a little bit of a joke about, you know, have you managed to find any good personal trainers recently? And he absolutely loves
that's
me
so
bringing
rude.
It up. Yeah, no, absolutely loves bringing it up. And so that's just a little tip for all the girls and guys out there who are trying to do a bit of business.
Live from Clapham with the CEO himself, this is Clapham News.
This is the news from around Clapham on Thursday, the 18th of November. The CEO of Clapham, who happens to be bloody good looking and really successful, has finally released a date for the protest against Iceland on Clapham Common. It will happen on the 1st of December and it will start at 6 p.m. He wants Iceland to shut down so that Waitrose can extend their chicken aisle to provide Clapham with more protein. The protest will start at 6 p.m. and the chant will be, more chicken, less Iceland. Plans are going ahead to extend the pond on Clapham Common into a river so that they can hold a Clapham regatta. Gales in Clapham Common had to remove a gentleman on Thursday afternoon after he repeatedly asked to speak to Gale after he was not happy with the scones. The Old Town Tavern landlord reveals that he's never seen or tasted a better pint than more lash. And in business, new vegan restaurant on Northcote Road closes in 3 days after owner realises Clapham residents only like meat and eggs. And in sport, rugby fans up and down the nation celebrate the fact that Owen Farrell will not be playing in the England team this weekend, but fears have started to rise that he may be in commentary.
Well, Archie, it was my go to book a guest in this week, but you hijacked me. And you said, enough is enough, Fred. You know, I want to bring in the big guns.
Yeah.
So who have
you
got for us?
Well, he is one of my best mates.
Okay.
Someone I'm in regular contact with. Someone who's a... Who I would say is a friend of the show.
Blazers.
No. None other than James Haskell.
James Haskell's
AKA
on the pod today.
The Fridge, yeah.
Oh my God, that's
awesome. He called me up and basically said, look, I've got a new book out. Ruck me. Bloody good
He's
name.
Got another one out.
He's an international author, Freddie. And, you know, he rang me up and he said, look, can I come on the show and promote the book? I said, no problem at all, mate. Be bloody good to talk.
Yeah.
And honestly, let's bring him in to the Stadium of Chat and see if he's still got what it takes to be an international chat merchant. James Andrew Wellborn Haskell.
You two virgins look like you're in your nan's broom cupboard trying to do a live show, trying to make it look big time, is it?
We are. We've got a poster. I know a guy, by the way, who's doing posters. So if you want one, just let me know.
No, I don't need it. But I like how you two are both making out your big time and you've actually, Freddie's got a fake mic that's not even plugged in.
No,
mine is plugged in.
You're going up in the world.
Hask, mine is plugged in,
this
trust me.
This is a professional operation.
James, welcome back on the pod for your third cap, sir. You're getting up there with Burnsy. And many congratulations. Last week, you obviously bought out Ruckme, as we just saw there. Says in the press release that you go on a voyage of discovery, interviewing friends along the way. How come Archie never got the call up?
Yeah, bit disappointed about that.
He's not really a friend, is he? You and I have a similar relationship to you and your dad. Very much at arm's
really
length.
Good.
Not a lot of passion and love. Don't really want to see you.
It's
don't
distant.
Really want to hear from you, but I'd happily pay for you to fuck off.
It's distant. It's distant. Our relationship is distant. That's the problem. You know, you are in Northampton, you know, where you can get a very nice property for... You know, what a sort of two-bed flat would cost in London.
Yep.
And I'm in London.
Hask, I saw you were out in Dubes last week doing a bit of DJing. How was the long lunch? How loose do things get out in Dubai?
You're still trying to steer the ship, are you?
He is still my Pano. He has been described as a young Ben Shepherd. He's got a very similar interviewing technique.
He has. He's got a very soothing voice, Freddie. I mean, yeah, I mean, his singing as well is, if you follow him on Instagram, if I ever need to go to a really relaxing deep sleep, I pop him on and he
Thank
just
you.
Soothes me off. I wouldn't listen to him while you're driving or operating heavy machinery because you will go straight to a wall.
Thank you.
A lot of people say they listen to the podcast, our podcast, just before they go to sleep. I think it really helps to relax them.
It does. It does. I listen to it while I'm making intercourse with my lovely wife because it's so distracting that I last forever. It's perfect.
But seriously,
I actually listen to it while
of course you do. While you're having some solo fun.
Well, mainly when I'm dry humping, because that actually it allows me to maintain a good rhythm and last longer.
I imagine you do a lot of practicing, a bit like that guy in American Pie, sort of kissing your own hand and rubbing yourself up and down against things.
Yeah, I have a ridge that goes down the middle of my bed, and I rub against that on a regular basis, like a sort of cat, I guess, scratching his pole.
Did you want me to answer the first question? The first question, it is a voyage of discovery in regards of, you know, I wanted to tell some more stories. When I wrote the first book, a lot of my teammates came up to me in a really shady manner and were like, listen, Hask, I just wondered if you put that story in there. And I was like, no, but I will for the next book. And I wrote them all down. Got Dylan Hartley, now my best mate, Paul Doran Jones, obviously being on the pod.
Yep.
And, you know, Joe Marler. So it was nice because I was obviously talking about myself, talking about stories and events. And it was nice to get these guys to come in and talk about it, really.
Well, Hask, we've had all those people on the pod apart from Dylan. Is he keen to come on, do you think?
Nah, he wants to rearrange Freddie's teeth.
Yeah.
Not Freddie's teeth, Archie's teeth even.
I think he's annoyed because, you know, look, I'm only calling it as I smelt it. You know, I once bumped into him and he smelt like a sausage roll. And that's been spread like wildfire. And
he does have a meaty look about him, but actually, he actually smells of Tom Ford Oud Wood. He smells great, and he's very clean. For a front row member, who hygiene is sort of an afterthought, you know, I once caught a prop in the shower. I mean, it was, when I say caught, because it was that rare, and he was sort of just washing with water, moving the mud around. And I said, do you have any shower gel? He's like, I certainly do not. And he sort of talks to me.
Where was he from? Jamaica?
He actually was. Yeah. He actually was by Jamaica. And he said, got very upset. So I certainly do not. And he kind of, it's almost as if I asked if I could bang his sister, which I didn't. Well, that's why I did. And she was quite a big hit. Very much like riding a Shetland pony that like Hulk Hogan. But anyway, it was a good afternoon. I'm joking, of course, it never happened. But a prop did complain about not washing or basically not having any shower gel. So not massive fans of it, but Dylan was unbelievable. He smells beautiful. Every time I see him, I give him a lasting hug, but he will fill you in, Archie. He's going to tear you limb from limb.
Well,
he'll rip you in half like a beer mat, fold you up like a travel mat, and stuff you in one of his extensive coat pockets.
Hask, I'll say two things to that. I'll say, firstly, he'll have to get in line. I'm going to knock out Pano first, and he can have it next. And second of all, I've been thoroughly enjoying Dylan's commentary on Amazon Prime. I haven't been enjoying his fashion sense, and I do think what is great is that what he wears does sort of it does show the larger man what not to wear, and in a way that's very helpful.
Oh my God!
What is that hat he's wearing? Just pass him a message for me. I won't call it on Instagram, but what is that hat?
I'm not being involved in this because Dylan and I are very good mates now.
Yeah.
He doesn't live far from here, and if he gets wind that you're at him again, I'm worried because...
Hask, talking about Samba, we're recording this on Remembrance Sunday. You put up a beautiful post about, you know, remembering the fall. And
wow, you are brilliant at bringing it back.
Thank
that
you. Is, but you're getting a lot of shit online. People who have a big platform nowadays just get shit for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
I know it's deeply frustrating for you. Well, no, like big followers like Hask and the like. Yeah. But what are the weirdest kind of messages you've got? Do you ever rise to them in your DMs? Like, when was the one time you just got really fucking pissed off and went like, right, I'm not going to stand for this?
Oh, I mean, every day up until the point I started losing money doing it, and I decided, you know what, I'm never going to reply again. So I just don't anymore. I got slightly perturbed with this very lazy Five Live journalist or a BBC journalist who claimed Eddie Jones was being sexist the other day, which was utter bollocks. But no, I talk about it in What a Flanker, actually, the first book where some bloke basically, he wrote to me, you're fucking shit, you're a wanker, Hask, you should go and hang yourself or something like that. So I replied to him, did a bit of research, looked at him, looked at his missus, and I said to him, I said he looked like a melted wheelie bin, and I said his missus looked like she'd caught fire, and he put her out with a hammer. And then he wrote back to me and basically said that, he went, how dare you, surely there's a policy with England rugby that you can't go back insulting people. And that you're not allowed to say this. And after the recent unfortunateness, I can't believe you're bringing my miss into it. And I was like, I literally wrote back, oh my God, did she actually catch fire? And you put her out with a hammer. Like, the chances of that happening are mental. And he went on and on and on. He basically just bottled it and quit because the trolls don't like being trolled.
You mentioned Eddie Jones there. Obviously, his comments about Raducanu, you know, turned some people off. But what was he like? I know you talk about it in Rut Me, which is out in all
have you read it,
stores.
Eddie?
Well, I asked for a pre-release. It's now out. I've ordered mine. I'm waiting on Amazon. I thought Stephanie Hasker's PA would send me one, but she didn't. Anyway, that's by the by. So, Hask, I have read
it doesn't sound like it's by the by. It sounds like it's nicely chipped into the shoulder there, like a bit of passive-aggressive.
Yeah, it really did actually sound a bit passive-aggressive.
No, come on. Let's talk about Eddie Hask. What is he actually like as a person? And also, what's the angriest you ever saw him got? Because surely he did break the rules sometimes.
Okay. Well, so firstly, there was a multitude of questions. That was like a minigun of questions.
I have to get them in because Archie fires up.
That was like the equivalent of me making love in a night. It just all came out very quickly. And it was quite messy.
I imagine it just comes out like toothpaste, just limp like that. Boom, one, like bang, boom. Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
it just actually comes out like sort of protein powder. It's just a like that. And it's not a liquid form. I'm probably the only person, that doesn't. When I do ejaculate, it comes out in sort of a, not a liquid
like
form.
Like a powdered
powder
substance, yeah.
Right, firstly, that article was written by a bloke who's never been in England camp. Never trained by Eddie, so doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. He's literally, that is an observation piece. So that's like me looking through a frosted window of someone else's house and telling you what's happening. The neighbours might be able to tell me.
I recommend to the younger viewers trying that.
No, do not go up to the frosted windows. That's what you're in
trouble.
Don't do that. And so basically, first of all, that, you know, he's a good journalist, that guy, but you know, it was, we got to understand that success, right, is something you have to revisit every single day. Yeah. And a lot of people go and get team building guys in, businesses, they come in, they write success on a whiteboard, you do it a couple of times, then you don't bother ever looking at it again. And Eddie is relentless in the pursuit of being successful. And he's created an environment for the first time in England's, since they won the World Cup, I think, which is aspirational, which is high performance. He knows every player knows exactly what he's got to do, how he's got to do it. He'll make you better. Yes, he burns through staff and players, because if success was easy, we'd all be doing it.
Yeah.
You know, you guys would have deep books out and have a really reputable podcast, but it's not easy. Look how much you're struggling. You know what I'm saying? It's something you have to revisit every day. And the thing is, someone like Marlon Yard, right? I love Marlon, but why would you turn up to England training and go, I'm tired? He went, Eddie, I'm tired. And then he went, fuck off home. You're on England camp. You're here to perform. You don't say you're tired. You don't have four. There's no time in life to be tired.
But Hask, was that the most outrageous sort of reaction you've seen both, I mean, from Eddie and Marlon? Like, did it ever get worse than that? Was anyone else sent home from camps for saying something relatively innocent?
No, I think I wasn't. I didn't see the Marlon bit. I was probably, I don't know, working at the coalface or something. But no, I think he just came to Eddie and said, I'm tired. And Eddie told him to fuck off, which I don't have a problem with. I love Marlon, but I don't have a problem with. I never saw him explode. You know, before Eddie came in, he had this reputation of being this absolute kind of explosive ticking time bomb, very aggressive. I never saw him go once.
Write that down, because I'm going to write down tomorrow morning, I'm going to go in the office and just write down success on the whiteboard. And then from that, S, strength.
Yep.
What's the next letter?
U.
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 Unbelievable. C, cancel culture. C, what's the other one?
C.
C, come on, you can do it. E, everyone can do it. S, success, right? And then the other S is stay together. And that is, and I will, that will motivate people.
Well, you are a great motivator, Archie. You're famous for doing these motivational CDs. You've done it for Jack Noll. You got them to a Prem final. Danny Kerr, they won the Prem. You did it for Hamish Watson last week.
Yes.
They beat Australia. Hask, apparently Martin Johnson, you mentioned you weren't a big fan of his. He was obsessed with motivational music, motivational videos. Like, how weird did it get?
First of all, Freddie, don't put words into my mouth. I didn't say I'm not a big fan of his. I said that I wasn't a big fan of their motivational videos. I'd say that.
Don't it was be an like a Guardian journalist, Freddie.
I know. What Freddie's trying to do
you
is...
You come into this podcast with your flamingo shirt, you know, oh, but you know, I'm just here asking the questions, but secretly you got a vendetta against Haskell, who by the way has a book out called Ruck Me, who is taking the time to come and talk about Ruck Me. Yeah. Out now.
The only reason I said he didn't like Martin Johnson is because he did make some personal accusations against you, Hask, throughout your playing career. There was one where he tried to say that you were sort of sleeping or perusing with prostitutes merely because you were having a bit of fun on a boat. Can you tell us what,
yes,
what was the story behind that?
I would just say, for anyone listening, a lot of guys in the city listen to this, and there isn't actually anything wrong with hanging out with prostitutes at all.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, actually they provide a lot of comfort, and you know, there's not. What I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong with hanging out with prostitutes. Some of you could just talk to. You don't have to do anything. You just sit there, have a drink, and just talk to them.
Yeah, I imagine you do that. Just sort of call them up and sit down.
And yeah, I know a guy who's actually, he's a seriously good looking guy, really successful guy, and you think he does bloody well women, and he's in great shape, but like on a Thursday at 4 p.m. he goes to a hotel in the city for an hour, and yes, it's about 350 quid. He just told me, and you just go to a hotel, and you know, you don't, by the way, you don't have, people misconception, you don't have to have sex. You could have a massage, you could just have a drink. This guy thought it would just be a one-off. He just thought that's it because he had the urge and he was naughty. But then for the last 6 months, during especially lockdown, which was really tough because to get there, he's actually been someone he could talk to and offload. I think it's really important that people on this podcast don't think that prostitutes are a bad thing.
His name's not Smarchy Smurgeon, is it?
This guy is French. She works.
Is he?
You guys don't know him. He's just a civilian. He's not even on Instagram.
Carazon, is it? Archie Carazon?
No. But he's. Yeah. All I say, he's bloody good looking.
Is it hypothetically your mate? Is it when they don't want the sex when you take all your clothes off and then they go, oh, actually, can we just hug? Does that happen a lot?
No. I'll tell you what. It's not me, but this guy has the same problem as me. When he ejaculates, it's powder, and it was a rather unpleasant experience the first time round. And she, I don't know.
She's now a super counsellor.
Anyway, I don't know.
I would imagine you have to find a prostitute without asthma, because if the powder went off in her face, she'd be coughing.
Yeah,
she'd be dead. You'd have a murder on your hands. Yeah.
Commercial break.
Richard Madeley, I bloody love your banter, mate, and I tell you what, the nation is going to warm to you. Hey, maters, seriously, how much money have you made in your career? I bet a shed load. Seriously, how much is Good Morning Britain paying you? Love to know that. You're not on LinkedIn, so follow me on Instagram and let's talk business. Richard, just remember when you're in the jungle in Wales that you are the biggest celebrity, because it's the battle of the ego. And you will come out victorious. Richard Madeley, when you do finally become victorious and I'm a celebrity, get me out of there. Do not sign up to Iceland Deals. You are the man to bring in Waitrose. You're a beautiful, beautiful man. I love you. Richard, has anyone told you and Judy that you are the original Phil and Holly? I won't have it any other way. You're gorgeous. Richard, I love waking up in the morning to you. You're full of great information and fantastic chat. I have a lot of respect for you. And in your honor, if you win I'm a Celebrity to get me out of there, I'm growing a beard for a year.
Perhaps go on, tell us about Martin Johnson.
I feel that this could be damaging what little reputation I have left, but who knows?
I've always thought, Fridge, that, and I, you know, I've been writing to the ITV4 and ITV6 producers to get a reality TV show, which I think now we found the name. It's Ruck Me. But basically, we go into failing businesses, you bring your decks, you play, you know, you play your back row beats, I'm in my suit, and we just start off, we go up to the boss and we just go like, oi, ruck me, this business is shit, you need to sort it out. And then you, basically, I'm writing success on a whiteboard, you're DJing, and we're just turning that business around. And for me, that makes a lot of sense.
Can I ask? Just quickly, because just to get the business plan really clear in my head.
Yeah.
Would it be, I'm playing a song and you put your hand up. I drop the music and they go, hard work, back on.
Yeah, that.
And then you write it down. And then we're like dancing. Stop. Consistency. Go.
Yeah, basically, it's like F45. We're bringing an F45 vibe into an office, and the cameras capture us. At the toward the end of it, you have a one-on-one tuition with the boss, and you're like, you put your arm around him, and you're like, listen, mate, you know, we think you've got a lot of potential. He's already had a meltdown. We've told him what's what. Now we're building him back up.
Because you walked into his business and gone, ruck me, your business is shit.
Yeah.
Which is quite a bold
opener. Play the music, Hask. Right, and then that's it. And then that
rhythm of the night, show me love. Hard work. Let's go.
I'm just going around. Karen, you're sacked. You shit. Get out. Rock me, you shit. And then at the end of it, Hask is there because obviously Hask got more followers. I'm just the minion. Hask just puts some hand on his shoulder. He goes, listen, we actually think you've got a lot of potential. And that just as he's about to cry, you just go, also, this is in this book's in hardback. So if you want to buy it, it's number 2 in Amazon. So.
When I go, ruck me, you've done better, but scrum with me on a journey.
Yeah, very good. That is absolutely beautiful.
Well, I'm glad this has been a successful brainstorming.
Can you write that down? That's quite a lot to write down. That's a TV show.
You want to hear about prostitutes?
I would love to.
Well, no, I went, yeah, so in Australia, a bloke literally like Archie, but actually more successful, but equal level sort of virgin, may or may not have seen a boob once, but definitely hasn't done anything more.
I've seen boobs, tell you. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe sort of a window or a curtain.
There's a prop in our team that he's got, it's actually really sad. He's got a disability.
Really?
Lost too much. Well, he's a big lad, but lost. It was bigger and then he's lost weight. And then, yeah.
Anyway,
prostitutes.
So basically an Archie type character came and said, listen, lads, do you want to go on a boat trip? Around Sydney Harbour, and I was like, "Yeah, like we'd love to." We weren't playing at this time, so went out for a lunch. I won't spoil the full story, but anyway, we got onto this boat, and the guy had hired some lingerie models to serve the drinks, and they weren't brass, but they were lingerie. We went on this boat trip, went round, and we played Australia. I ended up being on the bench for this game against Australia. We won, and we. Came into the changing room and Dozza, who you had on the podcast, was sort of going like this, like trying to get my attention. And I was like waving manically. And I was like, what's happened? Before I could speak, Jono's giant shadow, all 6'7" of him came in and was like, can I have a word? You're like, oh God. He took me into the showers. I was fully clothed. It wasn't like a naked one-on-one. Yeah. It's not like at my PE teacher school.
That takes me back to boarding school.
He said, listen, have you been on a boat full of prostitutes? And I was like, no. And he goes, well, the news of the world, I've got a story that all you lads have been on a boat full of brass doing it, whatever, God knows what, around Sydney Harbour, and they're going to run the story. You need to tell them the truth. And I said, Jono, I have not been on a boat full of prostitutes. They were PR girls. And I called up the archetype character and said, listen, you fucking idiot. Have you filled up a boat full of brass and invited us on there? Even though no one did anything. And he assured us it wasn't. So we managed to counter the story, but it still went with the headlines. But England players in boats and hose.
That's a bloody good headline.
That's fucking good, actually, to be fair. Hask, before you settle down with the wonderful Chloe, you were a bit of a naughty boy. We had Ollie Phillips on the show earlier this season.
What a guy.
Great orator.
That guy is his great business, guy. Isn't he? He has consistently looked about 50 for at least 20 years, which is quite extraordinary.
I'd say from the age of 15, he's looked like a 65-year-old retired accountant.
He is a real-life Benjamin Button.
He looks like a tennis ball that you'd allow a pack of Rottweilers to have a go on. Do you know what I mean? It's like chewed, like bits of it gnarled off, the lid's blown off long time ago. But what a boy.
What a good guy.
What are your sort of other crazy memories from living in Paris together? He said he used to go hang out some weird alleyways back in Paris where there were camper vans full of trannies, and so just weird things like that. You got into trouble with the club, both of you, for making content for Ça Français.
I wouldn't say that was a weird experience. That should just be a day off. Camper vans full of trannies. It didn't. That'd be like.
But what are your memories? You were living together. You know.
I'll tell a story about the drugging the dog. Basically, in France, you have these big buildings in the streets, but actually behind them was a space, and there was like 5 or 6 houses built in between two houses. It's wonderful. It's like a small kind of paradise in Paris. It was incredible. And they were quite close neighbors to us, and one day we were supposed to play a big European game, and the family opposite left, right, and they left their dog, and this dog was a yappy little handbag dog, right? And it just used to bark, 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 bark. So about 4 in the afternoon, 5, still barking, 6, 7, 8, 9, I'm trying to sleep. Ollie's trying to sleep. His dog will not shut up. Right, I've gone over, tried to like see if I can let it out, like help it. It's not interested, just barking, barking, barking. So I was like, listen, Ollie, we've got to shut this dog out. I can't not sleep. We've got to play. We're playing Toulouse or Toulon the next day. We've got to do it. So I had the genius idea that if I took a sleeping pill, broke it in half, wrapped it in a piece of ham and threw it through the window, the dog would eat it, it'd go to sleep and it'll be fine. I'm not advocating drugging animals. Obviously, it's a bit of a risk.
No, but it wasn't. For the younger viewers, it is blush good banter. And as long as it's not yours, then highly recommend it because it will be bloody funny.
I threw this piece of ham in there and the dog walked over, sniffed the ham and just left it. So now you've got a piece of ham in the living room with half of a sleeping pill wrapped in it, right? And the family's going to come back, found a piece of ham with a sleeper and know someone's trying to drug the dog. So I've then gone, listen, Ollie, we have to get that ham now back out. So we've got two problems. The dog won't show up and we've got drugged ham in the middle of the room. So Ollie got him out and basically sent him up the drain pipe into their house, got the ham out. Luckily, didn't get attacked by the dog. Got back out, right? So we're like, okay, but we've still got the barking dog. What are we going to do? So we went in the kitchen, crushed up the quarter of a sleeping pill, wrapped the ham in it, threw it back through the window, and the dog went up to it, ate it, and it was a bit like watching a toy run out of batteries. It was like, roo, 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 and just passed out in the bed. And we were like, brilliant, went to sleep. The only problem is when the family came back next day, they were like, how's Mr. Doo-doo-doo? And he just couldn't get out of bed. It was fucked for a couple of days. So they thought about replacing it. But all in all, it was fine. We were fine. I wouldn't say it's a good idea, but we won.
Talking about drugging dogs, you've also drugged humans before. What happened when you guys flew back from the Lions tour?
What are you like? Honest to God, I'm going to caveat this again by saying this is not something you should do. There are a load of absolute scumbags out doing this in real life to people. Essentially, a player was being an utter shambles on a flight back and was basically so drunk that we sat in these business class pods and was just like crashing through people's pods, like knocking drinks over, couldn't stop him. You know, like, you know that glazed eye thing that some men get where they're like completely, you know, can't understand and can't break through to them. He was then doing dive passes down the aisle with a rolled up in-flight magazines, hitting people. And this was getting worse and worse. The stewardesses were getting like really rattled. And I was like, this is going to, you know, we've just had an amazing tour. This is going to ruin the whole thing. If I don't stop him, he's upsetting members of the public. People are getting their phones out. So I then borrowed a couple of Zopiclones off some of the lads that hadn't taken them for the flight. And I crushed them up, put them into a drink, and then basically offered to go, come on, mate. I haven't seen you all tour. Let's do a shot. So he did a shot. And he was like, stumbled off, fell through everything. And about 10 minutes later, he like eventually sat back in his seat. In his chair, and was like yawning, and then was like, and just passed out, driveled on himself. And essentially, I saved his career and the Lions tour. And he still to this day doesn't know that he was drugged, and no one else does.
Faz.
Owen Farrell. Do you really think Owen Farrell would ever, ever let himself his standards slip?
Does it really piss you off when Andy Goode says that the Rugby Pod is the number one rugby pod in the world? I mean, I can see that teething at you a tiny bit. I know you're great mates with Jim Hamilton. That was meant to be the two Jim show.
I'll say this, right? I'm not saying Andy Goode's talking shit. But I'm saying Donald Trump, right, in a member as head of America, right, just used to say things that were absolutely factually incorrect. So much so that social media had to put warnings on it. And I would say that anybody who makes outlandish statements like that, you know, be very, very careful. I'm not saying Goody's not right because I don't want to start a pod war. All I'd say is be very careful. Be very careful.
Don't trust Goody.
Always fact check. Always fact check everything that you see or read because there's a lot of nonsense. Those of us who, some people we don't need to say they're the best because they just are. You know what I'm saying?
We don't.
We never
do. Some podcasts don't need to say that. They with a picture.
They get a poster
printed. They just say, you know,
we're big.
Don't worry about it. Third biggest rugby podcast globally. Don't worry about it.
We'll take that.
Yeah. Sometimes they just have to get a couple of coloured mics.
Yeah.
A living room and a really, really lovely poster that looks like it was done by a 15-year-old art project at a manager.
17-year-old actually, lovely guy.
Yes, they're very good. It's got the same, quite the archy sort of snobby face with a little curled over nose, real drinking really disdainfully against all poor people, I imagine.
Please notice with my left hand.
Great reference. Yeah. Because that would be, you'd be permanently smashing pints. Oh, by the way, can we just clear that up? So for people who, because there's a lot of people who I imagine listen to this, who comment on social media. If I have a glass in my right hand and I'm posed in a photo, it's not Buffalo. If I'm holding an empty can in my right hand, it's not Buffalo. Unless you see me drinking with my right hand, that's only Buffalo. So please, before you join in social media, get it right.
Yeah, and actually, to those people who write Buffalo underneath or on my sort of inbox on photos, are also the same people that seem to message me on a Saturday night saying they're about in Clapham. Do they fancy me going for a drink? No, I fucking don't. So can you fuck off?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got better things to do. No, actually, to be fair, let me know where you are. I'll probably turn up.
But except on a Tuesday night at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, no, Tuesday afternoons, I'm busy.
Very booked up.
Thursday afternoons.
Does he have chat? Gonna ask those questions now. Sam Burgess.
Chat.
Andy Goode.
Chat.
Paul Sackey.
Chat.
Cipriani.
No chat.
Parise.
Chat. Even though I couldn't understand it.
Itoje.
No chat.
Michael Checker.
Chat.
Johnny Sexton.
No chat.
Liam Williams.
Chat.
Alwyn Jones.
No chat.
Okay. So you're pretty generous
What an end to a podcast.
Quick word on your father-in-law, Richard, going into the jungle.
Chloe's laughing in the background. First of all, it's alleged, Freddie.
No, it's not alleged.
Nice try.
Go on.
It is alleged. It's alleged. Nobody knows if he is going in, but if he is, I imagine he'd be fantastic. And what I would say is stay calm, relax. Hydrate, and keep busy because you'll go mad.
And remember success, the word success.
Yeah. Could we... Because I quite like some of the slogans. Can I get in on that, like on the ground floor? You know, like
I
Bitcoin.
I'll send you a video tomorrow.
Success slogan.
I will send you a video tomorrow.
Archie, can we do Richard a motivational mixtape for the jungle?
100%.
We'll do that this episode. Yeah. Hask, just to finish off, and you've been incredible. The one moment you'd want to relive over and over again, and also the one moment which you never wish to revisit.
I would say when we won the Grand Slam with. England in the sporting context, and the day I would want to avoid at all costs, never live again, was the day that I actually gave Archie my number and saddled my wagon to this shambles of a horse car.
And now we have become just two guys who are about to launch one of ITV6's hottest programs. Ruck me.
James, thank you so much, mate.
Cheers, mate. Yes. Thank you very much.
Cheers, lads. Anytime, my pleasure.
What an absolute joy to have the fridge back
he
on.
He never lets you down.
He's full of it, isn't it?
Because sometimes I do listen to the good, the bad, and the rugby.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like, has he lost it? Not at all.
No, he's still on
his
game.
If anything, he's been training harder than ever, and his banter is up there.
Well, you don't get two book deals in 2 years if you're not on top of your game.
The man's machine, and... Yeah, it's just really good to chat to him because obviously, like I said, we have a very long distance relationship, but we have a lot of fun.
Well, you must be pretty worried about the words Dylan Hartley's saying through him. I mean, that sounds pretty serious,
Clodie,
mate.
I'm more worried about Dylan Hartley's dress sense than him ever getting hold of me. I mean, he's going to have to catch me first. I mean, that's the equivalent of an elephant chasing a cheetah.
What are your nicknames for your friends? What are your nicknames for your friends? What are your nicknames for your friends? The greatest nicknames for your friends, don't I lie?
So, Archie, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is that we've got a nice new section we're bringing back where we bring out our listeners' nicknames for their friends. Because I know you love a nickname. You in the fridge, everyone.
Do love a bit of nickname chat.
The bad news is it's replacing Clubhouse Story, which is your favourite section.
Mate, to be honest, I saw it coming because I've been scrolling through some of the entries that have been emailed into us. And wow, there is some seriously bad pitter-patter being flown about into our inbox. I mean, it's a shame, but look, I hope it's back next week because I do love Clubhouse stories.
Well, guys, if you want it back as much as Archie Curzon does, then please send in some decent stories to rigbizpod@gmail.com. But for now, Archie, I'm going to read out some of the listeners' nicknames for their mates, and you tell me what you think.
Love it, love it.
So we start off with Mr. Leighton James. He's got a mate called Hairnet because he used to work at McDonald's.
Oh, that's really sad.
And then we've got Quasi, who's a prop forward that has the strength of Quasimodo and looks very similar.
Yeah, that's quite good prop. Banter.
Aaron Crowley's mate is called Spidey because he once wore a Spider-Man tour top to training.
Okay, that's pretty shit chat. I don't know how that got on this podcast.
Then we got Tom Camshaw. He's got a friend called Fishy.
Yeah.
His party trick is dipping his digits in a nightclub and then making all the boys smell them.
Oh, yeah. That's quite good. What, into a drink?
No, I think just in, well, I don't know, maybe their noses, maybe into a drink.
I wonder what drink smells like fish.
Then Matt,
probably Guinness or something like that.
Then Matt Gill, 94, sends him one, says he's got a friend who has a condition which means he has one big hand and one small. They call him Clock.
Yeah, that is great nickname. Sad that he's got that condition, but also would be really handy in boxing.
Adam Wright's got a mate called Rohipnan. His nan ate the edibles which he left in the fridge thinking they were normal brownies, got stoned and had to go to A&E.
Okay. No, personally, I've never done drugs, so I wouldn't understand that. But I guess that's quite Shoreditch chat.
Then Jimmy Sutz has got a friend called Milky. He works in investment banking and never sees the light of day.
Yeah. I've heard that one before. There's a few Milkies in the city, I tell you.
And then we finish off with an L. Chamberlain 88, who's got a friend called Stumpy Nobrot. He's got small legs and he's a frequent visitor to the STD clinic.
Oh, okay. Fair play. Good work. Can say he's got small legs. He's obviously getting some action.
Well,
that's a really nice story to finish off.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to put your money where your mouth is as we listen to Archie Curzon's tips of the week before taking him on Unsettle It. Download the app now.
So Archie, now it's time for a little sell it section, where we ask our listeners to come and bet against you and try and win some cash.
Right.
Off you.
Yeah.
How did you get on last week?
Settle It. That's our key sponsor this season.
They are. They're incredible. Just they're innovating
them,
the betting world.
Just helping them make money. That's what we're doing. And in turn, they've helped me make money until this weekend, where I've actually lost money.
You've lost some.
First weekend, I lost money.
Didn't go well.
Our listeners. It's like the Bitcoin market, you know. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win.
So you saw the Australians being a slightly stronger force than they actually were.
Yes, I did. Obviously, I underestimated how much of an effect I've had on our England team.
True. Well, let me read out the fixtures for this weekend, and then you can once again tell us who you think is going to win, and then we can get our listeners to download Settle It and come bet against you and their friends and family.
Yeah, guys, I would say if you're listening to this, you know, for a free podcast, it's free. You know, just giving up my time, my valuable banter to these people, at least they could do is just download the app, add my number, and cover some chat. And again, I just want to say thank you so much to the lovely men and women of Clapham who have taken it upon themselves to text, ring, WhatsApp me in the early hours of the weekend morning just to check if I'm about and want to come for a pint. And I really, really do appreciate it. From the bottom of my heart.
Were you tempted?
One beautiful chica messaged me, but unfortunately, she was in Dubai. It just wasn't going to logistically work.
Right, so let's get to the fixtures from this weekend. So kicking off, we've got the emergence of Uruguay, Italy versus Uruguay.
Ooh, that is a great, great game. Cannot wait to watch that. For me, I'm actually going to say Uruguay.
Okay. Then we go to Murrayfield and we see the Scot who lost to South Africa on the weekend against the Japanese, the Cherry Blossoms, Scotland, Japan.
That is going to be, again, a humdinger. But for me, I'm always going to stick with the Scottish because I happen to be very good friends with Jim Hamilton who played for Scotland. And for Jim, I'm going to say Scotland by 20.
Then we have England, South Africa, the big one at HQ.
Yeah.
England versus the world champions.
I mean, I'll be watching, but will I be able to remember? Unlikely. I'm going to say England by 15.
England by 15?
Yeah, that I truly believe it's going to be England by 15.
So what odds are you going to give for South Africa to win then?
Let 10 to 1.
10 to 1. Right, you heard it here first, guys. 10 to 1 for the world champions to beat an English team who have looked a bit dodgy, I must say. Then we go to Cardiff.
Come one, come all. Come bet me. Because I'm telling you what, I'm taking your money this weekend. England by 15. Come on, England.
Then we go to Cardiff for a big one. Wales versus Australia. Two teams out of luck at the moment.
Yeah, the battle of the convicts. Probably going to go with Wales just because I'm very very close with Richard Hibbard.
And then France versus New Zealand. Flair versus the All Blacks. Oh, what a magical tie at 8 p.m. That's going to be great Saturday.
It's a tricky one, but, you know, listen. You know, my best mate, Benders, is living in France at the moment. I think he has had a significant effect on the French game. And I think it's going to be Allez les Benders on the weekend. They're going to play with some Joie Vive and absolutely take New Zealand down. I'm going to say France.
By?
6.
Oof. And then to finish off the weekend, we have the Irish at home against the Pumas. Ireland versus Argentina.
Oof, again. What a weekend of rugby.
Can't wait.
I mean, for a rugby aficionado like myself, you know, it's like a wet dream. Going to say probably Ireland for that one, because then they beat New Zealand. And plus, Johnny Sexton follows me on Instagram. And again, if I went with anyone else but Ireland, I think he'd unfollow me.
Don't forget to download the Settler app. Get involved, add Archie's number, and make some money off the CEO this weekend. Get your friends and family to do it, and enjoy the fun. Well, Archie Curzon, it felt great to have a huge hitter on the pod again, didn't it?
Again, this has been a magnificent season. It's kind of all come together, and every game we go into, we seem to get better and better and better. And it was an absolute delight. You know, it was like dancing the rumba with Haskell on this podcast. And I think everyone will be absolutely loving the banter they've just witnessed.
Well, guys, don't forget to like, share and subscribe. We did get some nice comments over the week, thanks to your call-out. Yeah, but keep it going, guys.
Don't be fucking lazy, you know, because you're certainly not going to be doing it in December when it's silly season. Now is the time to strike. You know, like, comment and subscribe.
Now, Archie, you've obviously got a huge sway of fans. Are you going to give us a tiny bit of intel into where you're going to be watching the rugby this weekend or not?
It's the big one. You know, we are playing the world champions.
Yes, we are.
At Twickenham. Will I be going to Twickenham? No, I will not be. I will be drinking in the Old Town Tavern, one of the many places in Clapham that stocks more lash. And I will be consuming a shedload of more lash, getting absolutely steamboated and not accepting anyone coming up to me with chat. It's going to be a banging weekend. And, you know, let's face it, I'm probably going to end up in infernos if we win.
Well, Archie, you've been fabulous. Just because it is 2.5 weeks until silly season, I want to leave the floor to you and just have a couple of words to your loyal listeners and give them some advice for these last 2 weeks.
Men, women, we have 2.5 weeks left of the working year. Then we embark on what can only be described as the most important month of your year, silly season. Yes, there's ruggers this weekend. Enjoy it, lash well, have banter, do bum funnels. But come Monday, switch it on, melt those phones, do your deals, and we'll allow you to have a fruitful silly season. Go well, go steady, enjoy, love and champagne. AC, you're welcome.
You've given your statement, the place and the time, you said a misunderstanding, that's all it was. I should believe you, we can't build love on a lie, but I'm starting to doubt you, I wonder why. If you say you love me, don't go and waste my time. If you want my love, you better meet me.